Right now, most churches are planning their budgets for 2009. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the sponsors page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
It's no secret that I'm pro-life. Personally, that's what I would like to see further embraced by America.
In the first 3 months, that decision should be left to the woman. Then the second 3 months, the government has a role. In the third 3 months, the weight of the government's input is on the fetus being carried.
I don't like the word atheist because to me it mirrors the certainty of religion. I preach the gospel of I don't know.
The church that cannot curse cannot bless. Our church must reject error precisely for the sake of affirming the truth of God's love in Jesus Christ for us, keeping that pure, keeping that clear.
Well, it's a big event for the Nation of Islam. And a lot of people, when they hear that term, Nation of Islam, they think Islam, Muslim. Well, there's a difference here. We're going to try and sort out some of the differences. Yesterday, there was a big rededication of a Nation of Islam mosque in Chicago. And Corey Casimir is going to be with us for the next 10 minutes of the program in this hour of Issues, Etc., to explain the differences between the Nation of Islam and Islam per se. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. For the next hour of the program, you can join us with questions or comments, 1-877-623-6943. That's 877-623-MY-I-E. Or you can email questions or comments to us right here in the studio on this Monday, the 20th of October, Talkback at issuesetc.org. Talkback at issuesetc.org. In about 10 minutes, Dr. John Warwick Montgomery will be our guest. We'll talk about the existence of God, kick off a 5-part daily series with him, answering the objections of unbelievers. 1-877-623-MY-I-E, 877-623-6943, or Talkback at issuesetc.org. Corey Casimir is a researcher for Midwest Christian Outreach based in Chicago, author of the book Islamic Impostors, Exposing the Beliefs of Black Muslims. Corey, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you very much for the opportunity. One small correction, it's Poray with a P.
Oh, thank you very much.
That's quite all right.
All right.
Thank you again for the opportunity.
The mosque in the life of Muslims is obviously a big deal. What role does the mosque play in the life of those who consider themselves the Nation of Islam?
Well, for the Nation of Islam, and I'm sure we'll get to the distinctives, but the Nation of Islam is the gathering temple or meeting place for the Muslim faithful, and that is the Black Muslims, as they have been commonly referred to. Where the Muslim faithful who follow the teachings of Louis Farrakhan gathers. It's interesting to note also that those who do not subscribe to the teachings of the Nation of Islam, but who would represent or follow the teachings of Islam as a religion, meet in a separate mosque in Chicago, those who do not subscribe to the teachings of the Nation of Islam. And also it's worth noting that that temple was led by the former leader of the Orthodox branch of Islam, Warith Din Muhammad, who was the biological son of Louis Farrakhan's predecessor, who himself parted with his father's teachings early on.
So how would you distinguish between the Nation of Islam and Islam per se?
Well, that's a very good question, and I think it's a great place to begin. The media that was present on yesterday quoted Farrakhan as saying, "We are all in a journey to become complete human beings." And then he went on to say, "Look how we have become so divided, so hateful while claiming the same creator? Now, in the Nation of Islam, of course, when Farrakhan says that, he is appealing to those in the Jewish and Muslim communities and the Christian community, attempting to state that we're all serving the same creator in that quote. But it's important to know that in the Nation of Islam, they believe that the first God, the creator, created himself from an atom. And you did hear me right. The first God created himself from an atom, and because the atom was in a universe of darkness that began to form a brain and arms and legs, the first God was a black man. And secondly, that the God who created the white race is referred to in the scriptures of the Bible in Genesis 1, where it says, "Let us make man." Well, Louis Farrakhan's predecessor, Elijah Muhammad, said the us in Genesis 1:26 is a reference to 59,999 black people that enabled him to go through an experiment to create the white race. And what we have in Genesis 3 is the white race falling. So the first God in the Nation of Islam created himself from an atom, and they also have another lesser God by the name of Yaqub who created the white race. So clearly, only those who are informed in the Christian community, as well as those who are informed in the Islamic community, would not respond to this religious call of unity that Farrakhan gave out on yesterday because of being fully aware of what's taught.
Does the average person who either follows Louis Farrakhan or who is an adamant believer in the Nation of Islam, do they understand these teachings? Do they know these things?
Very, very well. Many of them are doctors, lawyers, various professional careers, but you are required to attend the classes that will introduce you to the teachings of the Nation of Islam, which are found primarily in books that were written by Louis Farrakhan's predecessor, Elijah Muhammad, namely Message to the Black Man in America, and there are others, but that is one of the primary sources for the teachings of the Nation of Islam, the text called Message to the Black Man in America. And because each member is required to read that, I would say they all wholeheartedly subscribe to those teachings, or else they could not consider themselves members of the Nation of Islam. And I know that for sure because for at least 6 months, as a part of the research for my book, I participated in the classes that are required for anyone interested in becoming a registered Muslim. So I know that firsthand.
How do Muslims, and here we not talk about black Muslims, but how do Muslims regard Louis Farrakhan and his movement?
It depends on whether or not you're an informed Muslim or not. For example, if you are an informed Muslim, you would know that the Allah of the Quran is one God who does not have any partners, who is a divine being, and who never did nor can become incarnate or become flesh. And to know that the Nation of Islam, on the back of their weekly publication called The Final Call, among their beliefs, they plainly state that their founder, Wallace Fard Muhammad, visited them, and he is God. He visited them in 1930 to begin the movement. He's not only the expected one of the Muslim community, but he's also the Messiah of the Christians. And also I would add that the informed Muslim believes that the Muhammad of the 7th century was Allah's final messenger who brought the final and complete revelation of Allah to the world that even supersedes all previous revelation, including the Bible. But Elijah Muhammad considered himself Allah's final messenger to the world. So I would say if you are an informed Muslim, that is, not only knowing what you believe as a Muslim, but also knowing what the Nation of Islam believes, you would know that the differences are irreconcilable.
Only about 30 seconds here, Pori. I wonder whether or not you can, how you consider Louis Farrakhan's Olive Branch two-hour speech on reconciliation and religions uniting together. Do you take it as a genuine call on his part or disingenuous? Only about 30 seconds.
Well, I would say this. To quote the Chicago Tribune, he asked a question. Are Muhammad and Jesus enemies? Why then are we? That is to simply hope that people would accept that we have a commonality. The Bible is clear that what we believe about the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of God, the Son of the Father, is irreconcilable with those who disagree. In fact, 1 John 2:22 says, who is a liar except the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Christians could hear that call, could see that offer of the olive branch, but bear in mind that the claims of the Nation of Islam and Islam as a religion are irreconcilable with the teachings of Scripture.
Pori Casimir is researcher for Midwest Christian Outreach based in Chicago and author of the book Islamic Imposters, Exposing the Beliefs of Black Muslims. Pori, thank you so much for your time.
You're very welcome. Thank you for the opportunity.
Well, when we come back, Dr. John Warwick Montgomery is going to join us. We're going to be talking about the existence of God. Stay tuned. Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Issues Etc., Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Thanks for your support of Issues Etc.
618-223-8384. It's the new phone number for the Issues Etc. listener comment line. 618-223-8384. Leery about calling a live radio talk show? Want to remain anonymous? Leave your recorded question or comment on the Issues Etc. comment line. 618-223-8384. The good, the bad, the ugly. We're big boys. We can take it. 618-223-8384.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Gaining hope out of tragedy.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Stephen Curtis Chapman is a world-famous Christian singer and songwriter. His music has topped the charts since his first number one hit in 1988. Recently, the Chapman family became a public advocate of international adoption, themselves adopting three orphans from China. Sadly, one of these little girls was killed in a tragic accident at the Chapman home. Despite their terrible loss, this family of faith continues to speak out about the hope they have. They know they will see Maria again in heaven one day, and they continue to challenge the rest of us to consider orphan adoption.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List, inviting you to join us in our battle for life. For more, go online to sba-list.org.